Chapter 6. Shit. I scrambled, picked it up, and answered fast.
Hello? Niff?
Please be there. Noise. Lots and lots of noise. Like the buzzing of a busy factory.
Niff!
Adam?
I could barely hear her voice over the background noise, but it was her. My heart thrashed in my chest.
I can't hear!
Niff!
I called again. Had she fallen off the monster? Escaped? She must have.
Where are you? I'll come get you right now!
Adam!
She said, crying and talking rapidly.
I can't hear you. I don't know. I need help, but I'm in a van. A truck. One of those armored bank trucks.
You're free?
I said, pacing back and forth in the room. The glass crunched under my feet.
Tell me where. You need to get as far away from that thing as you can.
I saw things.
She said more, but her words were rambling and incoherent. I tried to interrupt, but she just kept talking.
There's a bunch of us in here. CC2. Adam, she's covered with her.
Her?
I don't understand. Tell me where you are.
We're still inside. In the grinder.
My joy at hearing her voice changed to panic in an instant. That word again. This time from Niff's mouth.
How are you calling me?
Her voice sounded odd. A mixture between panic and something else I couldn't figure out.
The bigger she gets. They lifted the truck into her, and we got in, and we pulled Cece in to keep her safe, I think. But part of Cece hangs outside, so she can connect, but she fills in any way of escape. Adam, I can barely feel her. Those of us who are loose, we touch her, and nothing happens. We're locked in here. Adam, it's like she doesn't want us anymore.
Who's she? Niff, I don't understand any of what you're saying.
We need help. Please, Adam.
The power blinked out, and it stayed out. The cordless phone in my hand went dead. I screamed in frustration. I ran to our hallway closet and tore it open, looking for that old corded phone that connected directly to the wall. Please, please be here. I found it after what seemed like hours, and I rushed, plugged it in, and dialed. Nothing happened. I hung up and listened. No dial tone. Either the phone was broken or the phone line was dead. I cursed and threw it across the room. I went outside and a group of my neighbors stood there in the gravel surrounding a boombox. They stared at me, mouths agape. I must have been pretty loud in there.
I need a cell phone, please!
No one moved.
Please! My wife is caught up in that thing, but she just called me!
That got them moving. My neighbor lady with all the dogs pulled out a phone and tossed it to me. No service. I jumped on the hood and then the roof of Scooter's truck, but the reception didn't change.
Mine's out too, man, another guy said. They should still work in a power outage, but the tower must have been knocked out or offline. They went out the same time as the electric. So did the radio.
Fuck!
I said and jumped down. I handed the woman back her phone and ran back inside. Think, think, think. I paced back and forth. Outside, the whip crack of more explosions ringed the air, closer this time. Then, I had an idea. Not a good one, but it was better than nothing. I opened the back door, and Hamlet bounded back inside. He had caught a bug in the mud of the backyard. I left the door open in case the monster came close so he could escape. I left the house, jumped into the truck, and headed out. In the distance, the city spread like a dark blanket, punctuated by hundreds of fires. Above, several lights filled the sky. I couldn't see the monster, but I watched as red tracer fire from a military aircraft strafed the darkness below. The twins. Royce and Randy Dominguez. If anybody could come up with a plan, it'd be them.